The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. If you're a regular listener to this program, you know that we discuss a considerable amount of time about the harmful effects of the progressive liberal left politically. But I tried to spend even more time on warning all of us about the progressive liberal left on the theological side. Well, there's a new book out that will help all of us to understand this issue more clearly. It is A Grand Delusion by my guest, David Young, senior pastor of the North Boulevard Church of Christ in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. David Young, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Great book, by the way, and thank you for providing this service. It is, in my personal opinion, desperately needed. First, what is progressive Christianity? How would you define progressive Christianity?
It's a corruption of the Christian faith that was largely designed by North American elites with the purpose of building a civic religion that would accommodate secular interests in North America. So Jesus as the Son of God is replaced by Jesus as a social activist. The atonement is replaced by a social policy. Scripture is replaced by sentiment. Resurrection is replaced by enlightenment. Holiness is replaced by hedonism. Justice is replaced with indulgence, and so forth. Salvation is replaced by a sense of universalism. And so it's really a corruption that just is designed to fit into North American secular and even pagan values.
I love that. I had no idea how you were going to respond, but I love that. And the fact that you said it is an accommodation, it is, am I twisting the words of your book and the premise of your book that the progressive theological movement tries to mold God into their form rather than molding man into God's form?
You're not twisting my words. That's exactly what progressivism seeks to do. It's the same kind of accommodation that has plagued the people of God all the way back to the golden calf at Mount Sinai, where the Jews tried to make God look like the cow gods they had in Egypt or the cow gods they would see in the land of Canaan. They wanted their God to fit into their culture instead of changing their culture to fit God.
Yeah, and creating a God in their own image rather than being formed in the image of God.
That's right, and it's a fully fledged movement. So it's not just people who are being unfaithful; it is actually a well-defined movement with well-defined leaders, a canon of beliefs, entire denominations committed to it, books and blogs and webinars, conferences devoted to it. So it's an actual thing. It's not just your brother or your sister who's not really faithful anymore. It's an actual movement within the world of Christendom, and it's a great threat to North American Christianity.
Yeah, I knew I was going to like your book when I read this in your introduction. Allow me to read just a little bit from your introduction. Ironically, as mainline liberal denominations in America are breathing their last breaths, many evangelicals and Bible-believing Christians are taking up the exact same tenets of dying progressivism. Many pulpits, colleges, blogs, and books, in addition to popular speakers in Baptist churches, independent Christian churches, some community churches, Wesleyan churches, Acapella Churches of Christ, and other evangelical churches are currently making fateful decisions that will determine their destiny. Will they choose the apostolic faith handed down through the millennium, or will they continually redefine the faith to fit into America's increasingly pagan culture? The battle is growing, and a positive outcome is critical for the health and future generations of Christians. Dr. Young, that is so profound. And maybe you can explain to me something that I honestly don't understand. Every mainline Protestant denomination in America is either dead or dying, without a single exception, because of progressive liberal theology. How is it that evangelicals do not see that this, what they are accommodating and what they are embracing, is exactly what killed off our mainline Protestant denominations? How do they not see that?
It seems to be a mystery, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think a big part of it is we're not aware of our history. And so many evangelicals simply aren't aware that they're following a path that is really a well-worn path. It's been around for about 200 years in North America, and it always leads to death. There is no, as you said, there is no mainline liberal denomination that's flourishing. In fact, you can hardly think of even an individual liberal congregation that's flourishing. There are a few exceptions, but not many. But most evangelicals, they don't know this. So for most evangelicals, this is brand new. It feels good because it's what they've been watching on television and, you know, what the media they consume. It's what they're hearing from left-leaning politicians. So it just feels really natural to evangelicals who are unaware of the history of Christianity and therefore unaware that this is an off-ramp for the Christian faith. It is not an on-ramp.
How much of it is just a desire to feel comfortable rather than being offended by the gospel?
A lot of it. Oh, yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult to swim upstream. The Christian faith has always been going up the down escalator. But it's gotten more difficult in North America because suddenly in North America, with the sexual revolution and the push of pagan views of sexuality, pagan views of history, pagan views of indulgence and acceptance and tolerance, it's suddenly become very difficult to take a bold stand for Jesus. And so people want to keep some form of Jesus around, but they don't want the kind of Jesus who actually makes you take a bold stand. Progressivism gives them that. You can tweet out a policy statement. You can side with a certain politician. And then what you do with your private life is really irrelevant as long as you tweet the right causes. It's a cheap form of justice virtuing, where you get to virtue signaling, where you get to say, I'm still a virtuous person, but you don't actually have to put any skin in the game.
It's obvious that universalism is on the rise. Mm-hmm. Is this part of the cause or part of the effect of progressivism, the rise of universalism?
It seems to me to be a part of the effect. That's how I would read it.
Mm-hmm.
That even 20, 30 years ago, and I think you and I have both been in ministry for quite a while, but even 25 or 30 years ago, universalism was still not that widely embraced by churches or Christians. It's only happened in the last 20 or 25 years, and I think a big part of that is we're told, we're socialized over and over again through our media, our school systems and whatnot, everybody is okay. When you've been socialized to think that, what Jesus has to say about judgment and the wrath of God and even hell is very difficult for North Americans to hear. So we try to accommodate what Jesus has said in order to fit into the general culture around us. That's the heartbeat of progressivism.
And I'm amazed at how it's entering into circles. You don't know me at all, but I come from a long line of independent fundamental Baptists. They even come from quite a background of legalism, which God delivered me from many years ago. But, Dr. Young, I'm a part of an email group. There's probably 300 pastors. These are all independent Baptist pastors. And I am shocked that there right now is a debate among these independent fundamental pastors, or at least used to be fundamental, about the reality of hell. And I am just blown away how progressive Christianity has, you know, the nose of the camel in the tent in so many fundamental and evangelical circles. Are you as shocked by that as I am?
I'm taken by surprise at how quickly it's happened. So even 10 or 15 years ago, this would not have been happening.
True.
Not among fundamental Baptists or in my fellowship in the Acapella Churches of Christ. It would not have been happening. But it's just swept in like a storm. And all of a sudden, we're really losing a lot of our own pastors, a lot of our own thinkers. And I think a lot of it starts in our universities and our seminaries, where there's just so much pressure to accept and tolerate everything. People just can't get their mind around a just God who would actually punish people for their sinfulness.
Yeah, a la the shack.
Yes.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. David Young, the author of a wonderful book, A Grand Illusion, How Progressive Christianity Undermines Biblical Faith. You need to get this book. We need to take a quick break, and then we will continue our discussion with Dr. David Young. Stay tuned.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
And I welcome back to the program Dr. David Young, author of A Grand Illusion, How Progressive Christianity Undermines Biblical Faith. Dr. Young, I could take 2 or 3 hours with you, but I know our time is limited. So I want to move ahead into your book, because in chapter 2 of your book, you deal with the signs of progressivism. Our listeners who are listening to you and I, how can they tell if their church is slipping into progressivism?
Well, that chapter is based on an article written by an excellent Christian apologist, Elisa Childers, who lives here in the Nashville area. Several years ago, Elisa started to notice that her pastor was saying things from the pulpit that just didn't sound biblical. And over the course of maybe a year or so, she began to explore what was happening, and she realized that her church was really leaving biblical truth behind. Mm-hmm. When she left, she wrote out several things that she said would be signs. A lower view of the Bible, she said, you'll begin to hear people say things like the Bible's a human book or the Apostle Paul was wrong about this or that. Second, she said, you'll hear feelings emphasized over facts, such as statements like, that scripture just doesn't really resonate with me. She said, you'll hear essential Christian doctrines open for reinterpretation. It's not uncommon to hear someone say something like, well, the resurrection doesn't have to be historical in order to be powerful or to be true.
Yeah.
Fourth, she says you'll hear historic terms inaccurately redefined. So you'll hear things like love redefined as indulgence or tolerance. You might hear hell redefined as just a miserable life here on earth.
Or God would never punish sinners. Yeah, God would never punish sinners because he's love.
That's right. That's one of the things that you say, that she says you'll hear, and I've heard this 100 times, and you have too, Bob.
Yeah.
Where God's love is redefined as indulgence. And so it's just impossible for indulgent people to imagine they might get punished for doing something wrong. I did say at the outset of this that progressivism tends to be an elitist religion, and you can hear that denial of justice of God. You can hear the elitism in that. So if you've always been on the winning side of justice, which most North American elites have been, I'm sort of an upper middle class or middle class white guy. I've pretty much always had justice in my life. And if you've always lived that way, it's inconceivable that God would actually punish somebody for doing something wrong, because I've always been on the winning side. Mm-hmm. But most of the world knows better. Most of the world has not been on the winning side of justice. Most of the world needs to know that God is a just God and that he will set things right and that their tormentors will be punished. Most of the world needs to know that. It's just North American elites who have the luxury of denying the justice of God. So she mentions this, and then I think her last one is you hear doubts, skepticisms, just about fundamental biblical truths such as the atonement theory. So the idea that Jesus died to save us from our sins. Instead, you'll hear the focus of the gospel will be on social justice or policy or something like that, instead of the atonement that Jesus offers on the cross.
Well, and that,
so those are her 5 signs. They're excellent article.
Yeah, they are. That chapter two is worth the price of the book. Which brings me to my next question. What role has the social justice movement had in this rise of progressivism? You really can't separate the two, can you?
I don't think you can. So Christians have always stood for justice, and we've always stood for making this world a better place in anticipation of the return of Jesus. But when the idea of social justice replaces the gospel, when it replaces the atonement of Jesus, now it's no longer rooted in the Christian message. In fact, it becomes a competitor of the Christian message. So social justice, again, I think it's something of a form of virtue signaling where we get to say to the world, I'm still a really good person because I tweet the right calls or I support a certain policy. But then I don't actually have to live a just or moral life as long as I tweet the right cause. So it's a real cheap form of justice. It's a cheap form of righteousness. But it seems to be really popular right now. And so, especially among millennials, and I'm not trying to single out a group. I'm a baby boomer, and we've got our own set of problems. But among millennials, social justice is a very enormous concern. And so it's just a huge temptation to replace the actual gospel with a theory of social justice.
In chapter 6, the title is Jesus, Divine Son or Social Activist? Without going into a great deal of the detail of what you cover in that chapter, can Jesus be both divine son and social activist?
Absolutely, he can, yes. But he's not an effective social activist if he's not first the Son of God.
Yeah. Excellent point. And then, my goodness, I knew our time was going to go fast. In the final portion of your book, you say this, and I love this, be suspicious of North American-sounding spirituality. What do you mean by that?
Well, if Hollywood elites and university upperclassmen and individuals who live lives of luxury and indulgence, if they're saying something is true, I'd be really suspicious of it. Because the gospel, generally speaking, appeals to people, the ordinary person, who's facing ordinary things in life. The Bible was written so the ordinary person can understand it. So I would just be suspicious of messages that are coming from the elite quarters, from the quarters of people who live indulgent lives and have lives of great luxury. As a general rule, they're going to define the gospel in terms that give them support and give them comfort, but it may well not be the gospel that Jesus gave us.
All right. Just finally, if some of our listeners feel that their church is becoming more and more progressive and moving in this direction, in about 45 seconds, what would your counsel be to them?
I would take it seriously. I would advise you that usually if a church starts going down that road, they're not going to come back. I would confront the leaders with the Word of God. I'd do it peacefully and lovingly. If it became obvious they were not going to change, I would leave. Life's too short, and most progressive churches will not survive. Why attach yourself to a sinking ship?
Yeah, that's so true. Again, the book, A Grand Illusion, How Progressive Christianity Undermines Biblical Faith. It is by my guest, Dr. David Young. You can get it at Amazon.com. If you want to know more about the ministry that he is associated with, you might want to go to renew.org. Renew.org. I think you'll find some wonderful resources there as well. Dr. Young, you have provided the body of Christ a great service by producing this book, and I want to thank you personally for that.
Thank you, Bob.
A Grand Illusion, How Progressive Christianity Undermines Biblical Faith by Dr. David Young. Get it. You'll be blessed. More Bobberty Live coming right up.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.